5, 9, 10.
Behind enemy lines.
12, 8, 4, 3.
Der 28. Chaos Communication Kongress vom 27. bis zum 30. Dezember 2011 im Berliner Kongresszentrum.
We are here, I think. Hello from signalhackerspaces.org. We are now streaming live from the BCC, from the Berlin Congress Center, because there is currently the 28th Chaos Communication Congress going on. And we have now another live edition from our show right here from Signal Hackerspaces studio. And with me is the lovely GMC.
Hello, and live from Studio Stuhlenlager.
Yeah, we have a very cozy closet, which was given to us by the CCC as a quote-unquote studio where we make our radio here. At least this show, because just an hour ago we prepared a second studio for the Queer Geeks show, which we'll follow up. But this shouldn't concern you, because what we'll do in this hour is give you a brief intro in what this Congress is, what the Chaos Computer Club is, and even if you have no idea what a hacker is or a hacker Congress, you'll get some clue after this 1 hour.
But first, I think we need some music to wind down again.
Yes.
And I've got some Spintronic, slow.
we're back again. Yes. And we also organized this in our studio, and now we are prepared to talk with you. Sadly, this is the first live show where there is no possibility for call-ins.
Yes.
But you can join the IRC channel on irc.freenode.net, and the room is Hacker Space Signal. Yes. Hacker, what's this all about, GMC? We are here at Congress, the 28th Congress of this very long-lasting institution called the Chaos Computer Club. It's 30 years old, and yeah, it has quite a bit of history, I think. When did you first know about it? When did you heard the name the first time?
Well, years ago, actually. I think I was just a teenager back then, so that's really ancient history. And of course, I've been with the Dutch hacker community, like Hacktic, the magazine. And well, they would also write about the CCC and their actions. And so that's the first I knew about it.
Yeah, and you being Dutch and me being Austrian didn't hold us back from learning about this institution. Because I think they are, at least in Europe, quite outstanding and well-known also over the borders of Germany. And yeah, what do they do? I mean, they gathered at 1984 and in this remarkable year, and it was partly around a leftist community. Wau Holland was an important person, and it started off as a group of people who were very enthusiastic about technology. And back in the 80s, computers were more a concept or a thing you read about in science fiction novels, but they were not a present or universal thing as it is right now. And so they were quite futuristic for that time and had good visions.
Yeah, and they also had a vision like where it would be going with information technology. Because, I mean, nowadays we take it all for granted. But as you said, in the 80s, not everyone had a computer. It was quite special to even have internet. But yeah, like the CCC and friends, they already saw what this was going to become.
Yeah, in the 80s, the internet was not even something you've heard of.
Yeah, you'd have to be at the university, maybe. There they would have some links to the rest of the world,
some
mostly America. And yeah.
And yeah, so this institution we are talking about, it's still around. And from the early days onwards, there is a kind of also political mission which they engage in. They try to democratize technology out of their pleasure in tinkering and in just using technology or building it themselves. They created this general idea that everyone should have access to computer. Everyone should be able to engage with technology. And this issue still is one of the driving forces and one of the motivations you can see in the actions. But of course, 30 years is a long time. And what the CCC does these days is not the tiny leftist community. It started off in the 80s. Today we see a CCC as a global institution that's well connected all over the world. They have bounds to other organizations, other citizen rights initiatives. They are well connected in the German state. They take part in parliamentary hearings and act as a kind of specialist commissioner on certain issues. And of course, they are well connected with the net political scene in around the world. Issues like data retention, Vorratsdatenspeicherung, where, for example, one of the topics where they try to give input. And I'm naming this particular one because it connects to this initiative. I've been name dropping the last three sessions as well. Our citizen initiative against data retention. Which is now going into its second week online, and we already made 16,000 signatures on the Parliament's webpage for this initiative against data retention on the EU and the evaluation of all terror laws. And laws meaning which are particularly there to fight terrorism, and in this sense they They also restrict our citizen rights, our freedom in many ways. And this initiative was founded by the AK Vorrat, Arbeitskreis zur Vorratsdatenspeicherung, or Working Group Against Data Retention. And we have a total of, I think, over 20,000 signatures right now, because we had a period of 2 months where we also collected them on paper. And we are going till March with this, and there's still enough time to sign up, to go to zeichnemit.at and inform yourself, read this text, or and then click on this button, click on this green button which says jetzt unterzeichnen, and put in your details on the Parliament webpage. Your information is kept privately by the Parliament, and you will be one other signature, and the number will increase and increase, and hopefully the sign against data retention will become stronger and stronger. I recently learned about the Dutch initiative against data retention. Can you tell me something about that?
It's actually 5 years ago already that this was something that was going on in the Netherlands. And of course, well, we couldn't let that go. There was a big petition to stop this. And actually, it's in that regard going quite well in the Netherlands. I mean, if you look at cases that are related to data retention, but also net neutrality, where you want to protect the net from interference by, for example, the content industry really wants to clamp down on this internet. And if you're even suspected of downloading a song online, if the content industry had its way, you would be disconnected after 3 warnings. There's some variations in different countries. You would be disconnected and not be able to go online anymore. And that's pretty heavy in a time where the internet is important to for your daily life. I mean, if you're not online, you can't easily do your banking anymore. You can't, at least in the Netherlands, not get a passport easily. You have to, it's really a problem if you're disconnected.
Yeah, I mean, you effectively get excluded from society. You no longer have the possibility to be part of our society, in the sense that sometimes even services from our governments are accessed over the internet. And if you are cut off by the net, then you can no longer use certain services, or you are restricted in your duties as a citizen. And there are several ways where internet gets really one human right, one could argue, which really is a kind of thing where we should all fight for. And we're not doing this just because out of a pleasure, because we like to be political. We are made political because we see more and more initiatives, mostly coming from the European Union, but also national-wise, for example, Hungary, where the internet is restricted. In fact, the freedom of the net is in danger. And this infrastructure, it's not that old. And so we shouldn't take it for granted. It's not natural law that internet packets are all treated equally, and that everyone can surf the net and seize the same real content which comes from the server, which is not censored, which is not filtered. All these possibilities exist, sadly, in these days. And it's a political decision whether you allow those things to happen or not.
So, yeah, while talking about it, in a more international context, there has recently been this trade agreement, the ACTA. And it's sadly almost reality, because the last obstacles in national governments in Europe have been overcome. And, well, now it's basically up to the European Parliament to stop this thing. But they have in the past already indicated that they won't be an obstacle in that regard. So that's quite scary, because there's a trade agreement discussed in, well, closed rooms. No one actually knows what is going to be in the agreement. I mean, some of the content has been leaked. We know that there's the stuff I mentioned just now. You can get disconnected if there's the suspicion of downloading protected content. But it's only a suspicion, and it's up to whomever sits there to see. There's no fair trial. It's there's a suspicion, you get disconnected. And sadly, that's almost here. I hope they will stop it, but if they don't, what are we going to do?
Yeah, ACTA is really a major issue. I've heard many things about it, and they're all quite sad. The craziest thing about it is that it is the total ignorance of the presumption of innocence. Usually, if you want to imprison someone, or if you have a lawsuit, you have to be proven guilty. Otherwise, you count as innocent. But with many of these new internet laws, we see this basic rule of law inverted and totally left out in the consideration of new laws considering regulation of the internet. And yeah, that's one major issue for us all here on the Congress. But I think there are also others, and we should come to this event where we are right now. And as the last live sessions we did from the Chaos Communication Camp back in August, you may experience some background noise, and that's because the chaos in the name is really part of the program sometimes. And so everything is quite spontaneous. We are all professional amateurs, and outside of our tiny closet here, you have people watching streams, hacking stuff, soldering. There is so much going on.
There is. We're sitting right next to one of the exits of Saal 1. I don't know, there's hundreds of people in there. So sometimes,
thousands.
It's a big room. So when one of the lectures ends, people stream out and we can hear that. And that's, but it's also the charm of doing live radio on a Congress. But indeed, like the political activism, that's an important part of what the CCC is about. They've been engaging in the political debate, the social. Well, they've been getting attention for that. But next to that, I mean, hacking is also, well, I always explain it. It's not something you do, but it's the way you do things. And for me, the three core concepts are creativity, a critical point of view. And the third one is, of course, creativity, critical point of view, and being curious about how things work and how you can improve things. That's for me the core of hacking, and that's applied to social issues, but also to, well, anything electronics. Give a hacker something electronic, the first thing he will do is, where are the screws? Give me a screwdriver, open it, and see what's in there, you know. And there's a lot of that going on here as well. There's several groups who are doing great things with visual effects, lights, art installations. There's also one, I don't know if it's an art installation, what to call it. It's the Pain Station.
Oh, this thing. Yeah. Yes. That's an art installation. It's been touring around since years. I've seen it so many times. And it's a piece, an artist piece, which... how to explain? It's a box out of wood with a game on top of it, which you can play. You have two participants. And to play this game, they have to lay their hand on a special plate. And whenever one participant loses a game, he gets a pain treatment. And there are three possible pain treatments which you can get if you lose. And the first is heat, that this plate where your hand has to lie on all the time while you play heats up. And it's not really hurting your skin. You don't have a burn, but it starts to hurt. It starts to really get hot. The second pain, if I remember right, is electricity. Yes. So you get an electric stroke. And even then, you are not allowed to raise your hand from the plate. And the third pain, if I'm not mistaken, is a tiny rubber...
A little whip.
Yes.
A whipping thing, yeah.
You get whipped on the hand.
Yeah, repeatedly. And as you get along in the game, these will step up in intensity. So it gets more and more difficult to keep your hand on the button where the punishments are taken care of.
I think this is a good example for the chaos, and it's also a kind of hacking because he totally subverted some classical concepts of gaming and pain, but it's not that ideal example of what's been going on here. You have many art and visual installations, as GMC pointed out. You see many blinking lights, especially in the basement in the hack area. It's all over blinking lights, and you also have things going on in the top area where many people sit with their laptops, and you have what's this thing called? With the typewriter who prints out
teletext.
Yes, that's a really old fashioned typewriter you would expect in a
post office. Yeah,
yes.
It's from the 40s or the 30s.
Really. So we're speaking about late 19th century or something. Mm. And this thing stands there and it prints out SMS messages which you send it,
which
you send to it. So it is kind of the most ancient technology you can think of connected to modern GSM networks.
Talking about GSM networks, that's one of the other things that's going on here. Recently, the GSM network, the network we all trust upon for our phone calls, text messages, which we assume is all secure and no one can listen in. Well, actually, that's not true anymore. Over the years, people at Congress from CCC, they have been working on breaking the encryption that's being used on your telephone. So that means that with their equipment, they can basically listen to what you are saying on the telephone, or even have you log on to their own base station and then intercept or maybe feed you false information. I mean, it's an academical exercise for the people here, but if you think about the implications of having this technology, that it's possible, that's pretty serious. I mean, we had a recent scandal was in the news. Someone managed to intercept text messages and voicemail messages from our government. So the ministers, that's pretty hardcore. I mean, you don't really want that information to be readily available, especially if there's a crisis, whatever.
Yeah, and the point is that you may argue, you silly, stupid hackers, you open up to knowledge about how insecure these technologies are, and now everyone can do this shit, and everyone is insecure because of you. But if you look closer, and this applies to nearly all of the cases where people are things are made public, we call it full disclosure, when we totally disclose the workings, the interiors of certain technology pieces which were kept secret. It's always the case that when you look closer, you see already appliances of these leaks, of these holes in technology. May they be from government agencies, as in the case of GSM, telephone networks. Even now, you can buy spy equipment for thousands of euros, which allows you to intercept the phone calls and the text messages of your citizens. And this hardware is used. I mean, it's sold on special conferences, and it's used by either government agencies or also criminal organizations.
Yes.
And it's out there. Also, when it comes to software vulnerabilities, vulnerabilities are something which is sold on a black market, and these holes in software which allow you to take control of a foreign system, as long as they're kept secret, they can be marketed, they can be used in viruses, in exploits, so in software the criminals or the state uses against you. So you always have this problematic situation where the vulnerabilities are always there in the software. I mean, it's a fact that they exist. And if you bring them to light, then at least you have the possibility to get them fixed by the vendor, that people can update their computer or their device, whatever it is these days, that has a microcontroller in it. And hopefully after they update, they will be more secure. And in this sense, you also have many talks, and maybe we'll come to the talks at this point, which discuss this issue of security exploits, how to hack things, how things really work under the hood. And maybe GMC, you can give some.
I wanted to go back to something you said. Indeed, like people say, "Oh, you stupid hackers! You break stuff, and now we're insecure." I mean, hackers usually have a job and do this in their free time. So if you think about governments paying people just to full-time look at this stuff, then you can basically conclude that hackers, although they expel stuff, they are behind because there's likely government agencies that have tons of money to invest, and they can do the same. So it's out there. But yeah, as for the talks, I have not seen much talks. But one of the highlights was, for me, a talk about railroad security. And I'm talking specifically, it went into, well, of course, railroads are also highly automized. The signaling, like if a train is driving on a track and there's another train in front, the train in front stops, then of course the train that comes after it needs to stop. And there's a whole array of systems that make sure that those trains will stop and not collide. And this talk went into the history of these systems in the early days, really early, that's hundreds, 200 years ago. It used to be a manual thing. But then, of course, with the advent of electricity, these things got automated. And apparently it's, as with any software, even though it is designed as a fail-safe system, there are vulnerabilities. And also, if you look at the way they communicate, I mean, for example, trains use GSM-R, which is a specialized network, which is like the GSM network, but it's completely separate from the public GSM network. But it's the same kind of network with the same kind of technology behind it. So if you know that our GSM network that we use to make phone calls is insecure, well, you can figure out that the same is true for GSM-R, actually. So we're not only live in Vienna at the moment, we're also live in Berlin on 88.4 FM. And so, hi to all our listeners in Berlin.
Yeah, actually it's quite confusing because we are on four different FM stations. They all use our signal and broadcast it. And we have also the Xenium streaming network behind our backs who are also relaying the stream. And I just checked, there are actually really people listening. That's a good thing.
Excellent.
And yeah, to continue our talk about this 28th Chaos Communication Congress, the annual event of the Chaos Computer Club here in Berlin, I'd like to talk now about a particular first talk we've seen, the keynote of this year. Because it focused on a very certain issue. I haven't expected this. It was about internet censorship. We talked about this before, but in the context of dictatorships, with many examples from Egypt, Syria, Tunisia, and Libya. And the guy who gave the talk is an expert in this field, and it was really in-depth. He really showed from where this technology comes, what are the arguments of the vendors to sell such highly critical equipment to censor, manipulate internet, and also to analyze social networks, for example, to find your potential terrorist or freedom fighter, however you want to call them. And this equipment usually comes from Western countries, and especially he named Germany as one deliverer of this kind of software. And I found it quite amazing to give the keynote, the most important address note of the whole event, to such an issue, because I think it is a sign of where we are heading. I mean, the hacker scene wants to play an important role in all those fields where technology and society come in any kind of interference. And since the Arab Spring, I think the most pressing issue besides our European censorship laws is the application of technology in these revolutions. I'm not saying here that those revolutions are caused by the internet, not at all, but their technology, of course, is used. Like, all technology is always used by the people who are in times of changes. And we see, on the one hand, those protesters organizing themselves over social networks like Twitter, Facebook or anything else. But also the dictators and the regimes in power use the technology to gather information of what's going on. They try to manipulate certain sites, like China does it. I mean, we had this case in Egypt that so many people organized for this protest, that so many people clicked, I'm going to go to this demonstration, that the regime couldn't cope with this amount of supporters and they couldn't imprison them all. Sadly, Iran is a case where the regime got on top of the situation and is still in power. So we see the application of technology at all ends. And it is important also for hackers to engage in this fight and to look closely at these issues. And it's not only the keynote. It's also a topic which you hear about on the hallways. You hear people talking about Syria and Libya, and it gets more and more to an issue where they try to help, at least from the outside, with providing infrastructure, providing technology for people to stay anonymous online, for example. All those things are very important for especially those people who really risk their lives if they start blogging about the current situation in their country.
It is, and it's quite heavy, actually. I mean, some of these people have been long-time activists in this regard, helping citizens of oppressed oppressing regimes, help them exercise the right to free speech, and sometimes that means someone you have worked with closely for a year, all of a sudden is arrested and executed. So that's pretty heavy stuff. And I'm glad that also that side of the activism is here, because that's so important to keep helping people express their opinions. Because, if we stop doing that...
And the point is... I also spoke with people from Telecomics, and... they had a very special role as a hacker organization in those Arab Spring uprisings, because the approach they chose was really to help those people on the ground. And they did it in the way that they provided a possibility for uncensored internet. And in the way they did it, they hooked up modems here in Europe to internet connections so that people in Egypt could dial into those modems and get uncensored European internet. Although the usual internet lines in Egypt were either blocked or censored at the time. And they had a huge impact with this action, because it was something which really helped the people. But on the other side, one has also to see that it is a great danger also for the people here. It may not be the case that they get arrested for what they did. In fact, they got a lot of applause and attention for it.
Yeah.
But those lives of other people are now in your hands, and that's also a very critical situation for especially young people who just want to make the world a better place and help people who are in a difficult situation. And then they find themselves in a situation where the lives of many people depend on your actions, and each mistake could cost someone's life, and that's quite depressing. And there recently has been an episode of the famous podcast Chaos Radio Express, or CRE, as Tim likes to call it now. And it is especially with Telecomics, with Stefan Urbach, whom we also had on the Signal radio at Camp, mm-hmm. and at the Queer Geeks panel, which will start at 9 p.m., so just in 24 minutes. So he is definitely a character to follow and a really funny guy as well. And yeah, maybe we should play some music and then use the final minutes to get some conclusions.
Sounds good. Do you have some?
Stella liegt in Tokio, Männer fragen sie nach Feuer, nach dem anderen sowieso. Sugar Chris, dich sehr vermisst, dein Bein und dein Gesicht. Du kannst auf mich verzichten, nur auf Luxus nicht. Aber womit spielen kleine Mädchen heute hier und dort und da? Ob in Tucson, Arizona, Toronto, Kanada. Wien, ne Wien, du kennst mich ab, kennst mich down, du kennst mich. Ne Wien, du nur allein, wohin sind deine Frauen? Eva heißt Yvonne, ein junger Bogart hängt ihr an den Lippen, keine Sau sagt komm. Die Lackenpracht wird abgemacht, Tänze sind gestartet, es ist 4:45 Uhr, nun wird Position geprobt. Womit spielen keine Mädchen heute hier und dort und da, ob in Tucson, Arizona, ab Toronto, Canada. Wien, Wien, du kennst mich gern, du kennst mich, na Wien, Wien, du nur allein, wohin sind deine Frauen?
So we just played German local radio news jingles on three other stations.
Because we are on Pi Radio at the moment. Yes.
And we're also on Radio Orange in Vienna.
Yes.
And too many stations, I'm getting confused.
This is quite a special conference, I think, because it, normally if you think of a conference, there's like a staff of well-dressed professionals arranging all the logistics and making sure the speakers have water and etc. There's no such staff here. I mean, it's all run by the visitors, basically.
Yeah, we are here at the 28 Communication at the 28 Chaos Communication Congress, an event from the Chaos Computer Club, and we see this thing happening here in Berlin for many, many years now, and particularly this location in the Berlin Congress Center. And as TMC pointed out, it is totally run by volunteers. Only a few people, actually no one, I think, gets paid for that. On the camp, there are a few people, but here, really, everything is done by people who do this in their free time. They take holidays off. It's between Christmas and New Year's Eve, so also a special time. For most people, in fact, this is a kind of family they visit. And they really work their asses off. They really have 12, 18, sometimes 20-hour shifts till they just break down and fall asleep. So we see many people giving everything they can to be part of this. And I think it is part because it is this recognition system inside the hacker scene, recognition and being seen as someone who distributes to the community is the real currency. If you provide something other people use, then you have a good standing in the group. And that's partly how it works here as well, only that it is in a very large scale and they organize an event with many, many thousand participants. So it is a really huge thing. And as we see Congress growing bigger and bigger over the last years, the problem becomes that this Congress Center here is not growing with us. In fact, it feels tighter and tighter. And therefore, they implemented new ways of pre-sale systems. So if you want to attend, you have to buy your ticket online before you come here. And there is much more demand than there are tickets. I heard something from 8,000 accounts on the pre-sale system, mm-hmm. and much, much less people who actually attend here.
Well, there were three runs where you could actually get tickets, and all three of them sold out in 5 minutes, basically.
Yeah. I remember the keynote last year was of Rob Gongrip.
Yes.
The Dutch famous hacker who perfectly put it that we either have to find a bigger place or no, he said, I want to see that we are getting too many and not this place gets too tiny for us. And so there is a heated debate going on in which direction the Congress should develop. And you have many people who want to keep it in this volunteer, local style, keep it in Berlin, have it here at this special venue, which has such a long tradition for the club. And there are others who say we have to make this whole thing more professional and we have to look at for alternatives. And there's also the question, which target audience the Congress wants? Do we want to be open and inclusive for everyone, or should we go back to really nerdy, hardcore hacking topics and more tech things than social issues? There's really a fight between several angles of the CCC going on.
And it's bigger than the CCC. Not only the Congress, the camp that we were half a year ago has the same issue, I think. It's getting bigger and bigger, but also like the Dutch camps, they are getting bigger and bigger. And what to do? Do you want to go completely mainstream? Then you need a professional crew and to cater to the consumerism that's also seeping in, that's eating away at the volunteer spirit. So lately you see a movement, I'm talking about the B-Sides events, which is like a worldwide network. They are taking place in, I don't know how many cities. There is currently one going on, Berlin Sides. And you don't just buy a ticket and get in. You have to provide a bit of a motivation. Why do you want to be there? Who are you? It's really aimed at... you can't publicize as well. I mean, if you go in, the first thing you see is signs, no pictures, no recordings. I think that has value as well, because it can bring out more... I would say, more interesting talks on a technical level, on what did someone do really low level to break this piece of software or to break this piece of hardware. But it's a different thing. It's smaller. It's a completely different ball game.
Yeah, especially the hardcore technical people would prefer to stay in their own group. I often at least have the impression that this is the case. And it's a very difficult topic because some people say hacker scenes should be really open and as inclusive as possible. Others say we have to look inside, we have to make some distinction between us and the rest of the crowd. But anyway, I mean, we have only a few minutes left here, and this is one issue where everyone is talking about, which concerns the future, but maybe let's look at the present and the past, because if you got interested by us and this tiny explanation about Chaos Communication Congress, then you could go to events.ccc.de or media.ccc.de and either look at the wiki and all the documentation of these events, or you could tune into the streams of the live sessions which are currently going on. And if you use media.ccc.de, then you can watch all the recordings of many years of congresses and camps and get hundreds of hours full of great content. And I think that's one of the best ways to get an impression of what's really going on here. That's about it, I think, because we gave you some insights with the short time we have, and now we have to run down to get other studio prepared, or hope it's still prepared.
It's still there, yes.
Yes.
I left some Belgians in charge. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh my God, we won't go into nationalism here. But yeah, you can continue to listen to us if you like, because on this stream, Xenium streaming network, or the signal server, or every internet-related channel which is from our main station here, you would hear the Queer Geeks panel, which will take place starting 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. And this is a panel discussion about queer issues in the hacker scene. So we'll have many people with a queer background in whichever way possible, and we'll try to talk about what drives us, what is the current situation, where are the problems, where may be the solutions. And usually when I think back of the last Queer Geeks talk we had at camp, it can get quite emotional. So maybe a tiny disclaimer that we keep it honest and true there. So it may get intense. But you're all invited to come. And if you are at the Congress, you can go down because it's also public viewing. And you can also participate in the discussion. And if you're not currently at the Congress in Berlin, then you can still join the stream and go to the chat, which I've totally ignored, but hopefully will take more attention to soon.
Absolutely. So that's, I think that's it. We will play some music for our listeners in Vienna while we run downstairs. Our listeners on Pi Radio, they will be with us in the other studio for the Queer Geek Show. And of course, as Thomas already mentioned, you can go to the website xenium.de, which has the stream of all the rest of the program. We will be broadcasting tomorrow as well. And well, it was fun to do this again, Thomas.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I hope we get to do more live shows together in 2012. We will also talk about Signal in the last show we'll do from here, which is tomorrow. You can also tune in on that. It's between 8 and 10 p.m. And yeah, that's it for today. And yeah.
Schönen Abend.
Ciao, ciao.
Behind enemy lines.
The 28th Chaos Communication Congress, from December 27th to 30th, 2011, at the Berlin Congress Center.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 4,